Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today we celebrate Virgin Martyr, St. Maria Goretti. She was a poor girl. Her family was poor, and they were living together with another family, trying to, by the combined efforts of the two families, to eke out a living. Unfortunately, the other family had gotten involved in pornography. You read a little bit on the life, and this is one of the things as he would one day repent after a very, really almost a, really a miracle on her part, on St. Maria Goretti, who he would martyr. He would tell many people afterwards that they need to be careful of pornography because it's one of the consequences. It leads to violence. We forget the dignity of the person. He would, as we know, accost St. Maria Goretti when she was alone, caring for a baby, and he would try to take advantage of the situation. And she said, no, no, it is a sin. She refused to yield to his entreaties. And so he would stab her 14 times. He would end up, well, let's continue a little bit with her before we go end up where he ended up. We know where he ended up in prison, but at any rate, they would come upon her. She was still alive. He went and laid down and went to sleep. Strange thing to do. Yeah, he did. He went and laid down and had a nap after he stabbed a young girl 14 times. And when they would come upon him, he... and continue with her. They would come upon her, and she was, of course, bleeding to death. And they got her in a cart, and she traveled some distance, and a very painful distance, if you can imagine being stabbed 14 times, and old, riding in a cart on old cart trails, jostled around, bumped around. And she managed to hang on for some time. A priest came upon her and asked her if she was willing to forgive her assailant, and she said she was. Not only was she willing to forgive him, but that she actually desired that he would be with her in heaven. And she would die with this, virtually after saying that, she would die. This, of course, is one of the reasons why she is canonized as a virgin and martyr. The young man would find himself in prison, and he was a very hardened sinner. Very hardened, very stubborn. He'd find himself on more than one occasion in the, I want to say the insane asylum, but that's not what it is, in I was thinking of it earlier today and I was struggling with it, solitary confinement. They put him in solitary confinement. He was on the point of despair, and she would appear to him and give him 14 lilies, one for each of the wounds that he had stabbed her. And upon this vision, after this vision, he made a change in his life. He got himself out of prison, straightened his act out. When he got out of prison, I assume it was shortly after prison, he approached the mother and he asked her, "Can you forgive me?" You can imagine that. You know, this is the person that did the awful thing to your daughter, killing her, taking her out. And she said, "If Maria forgave you, how can I not forgive you?" We're actually talking, this part I didn't know, but apparently the next day they went to Mass together and received communion together. It's one of the few times where, you know, a mother was able also to go to the canonization of her own daughter. While she was still living, her daughter was canonized. Wouldn't that be awesome? Can you imagine seeing your own daughter canonized, or your own son, and living to see it, knowing you could go to Mass on that day and receive communion on the feast of your daughter? And he too was able to see the canonization, the beatification. I'm not quite sure that we were discussing that. I had thought that he hadn't actually made the canonization. He was alive, but I had thought that he hadn't made it. Maybe it was the beatification, but I'm not. The thing I read and what I remember is he actually didn't go to the canonization, but if someone finds something to the contrary, I won't argue the point. I thought he did it actually as out of... he didn't think he was worthy to go. But it was, he was alive at the time and rejoiced in her canonization. And they may have, I don't know, we were talking about this morning, it seems that some others thought that he actually went with a mother, perhaps. I don't know. It's been a while since I read the little story on St. Mary Goretta, so that point I'm not exactly sure on, and it's a point up to dialogue. You can get your books out. And if it leads you to read her life, good, I'm glad. In our own lives, we consider the example of St. Maria Goretti. She obviously had a profound faith, something that she took seriously in practice. From the very words, you know, to her assailant, no, no, it's a sin. She was concerned at the offense it would give to God. Now, this is not something, you know, how many children today, you know, would stop and say, no, no, we can't do that. It's a sin. Don't do that. You know, that loving devotion for our God and the sufferings that he's caused us, our sufferings we have caused him, rather. The sufferings he causes us are actually good for our sanctification. And he does them justly as a what do you want to say, remedial. It's like a medicine to the soul. So it's actually wrong to say that. But there is a difference. You know, God is innocent and doesn't deserve, you know, that we have crucified him by our sins. And yet, we are also reminded by St. Maria Goretti to forgive those who offend us, hurt us, cause us trouble. That we need to forgive them with that love that Christ forgave us. Always the two things I try to remind people that, you know, as we have offended Christ, if we crucified him by our sins, and we contemplate what we've done, as we ponder on the stations of the cross, or the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, pondering on what I've done to Jesus because of my sins, at the same time we have to ponder on how much he loves us, what he's endured because he loves us, how much he values our soul and our eternal salvation. And it's really the true zeal when you talk about the, you know, the zeal for God, you know, all for the greatest glory of God, greater glory of God, St. Ignatius of Loyola, greatest glory of God, St. Maximian Kolbe. As I was reading St. Catherine of Siena, she helped me to understand in her dialogues with, in her dialogue, in the book on her dialogues with God, what that means when you say for the greater glory of God or the greatest glory of God. It's the zeal for souls, seeking to draw all souls to Christ. In fact, as we're even talking about this, you know, we're talking about it this morning at breakfast, and one of the sayings of St. Maximian Kolbe was, you know, it's a tragedy that even one soul should be lost. Because for that one soul, Christ shed his blood. And so it is a tragedy. No matter however bad they may be. And you can think of I won't name names, but we can think of each of us have probably a long litany of names that we can think of rascals in the history of mankind that, you know, and yet a true lover of God, true lover of Jesus, desires them to repent and to be saved. Because in heaven there is more rejoicing that one sinner should repent and that all the rest of us, all the 99, should remain faithful. You know, this is that father, the father of the prodigal son. We need to rejoice and be glad because our brother was dead and has come back to life. We hear this a bit in the gospel today, the difference between, you know, the view of our Lord and our view when we see someone who is dead. St. Maria Goretti, to many, seemed like she had died. But more properly, I think we can say with our Lord, she is sleeping, for she will rise on the last day. Her life is not over. It's only just begun. May that be our hope in our own times of trials and troubles, to remember that we may suffer for a bit in this life, but let us not lose sight of that finish line. To bear it in mind, even at the worst of struggles. To bear in mind the finish line, so that we too, with St. Maria Goretti, might rejoice to be in heaven. And who knows, maybe following her example, you know, maybe if we pray for our persecutors and ask them too, that tell the Lord, says, I forgive them and I desire them to be in heaven with me. They'll be a part of our crown of everlasting glory, something that we will not ever regret having won them for our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, by our own forgiveness, our own sacrifices, and our own humiliation. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.